the anointing that came, describe it. Describe it.
No, it was like just a warm feeling. Just warm up and down.
I'm just so amazed.
That's televangelist Benny Hinn and an attendee at one of his crusades describing what they call the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A warm feeling, up and down. Is that how we know that the Holy Spirit is present and working? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Sunday night, November the 18th. We want to hear from you on the person, work of the Holy Spirit. Our call-in number tonight, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be giving away a Bible study on the Holy Spirit to listeners with the best questions and comments tonight. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest tonight to talk about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, an often confusing and befuddling question, even though Scripture seems to be quite clear on who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. Dr. Carl Fikancher, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a regular guest. Dr. Fikancher, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I appreciate the opportunity.
Is the Holy Spirit the same thing as my feelings?
Well, obviously not, it's emphatically so in this sense. First of all, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity, and spoken of frequently in Scripture as God. And while, of course, we know that the Holy Spirit does live in us, that Christ dwells in us, we are by no means God, and as long as we continue to be sinful, which is until we are in heaven, we can always be assured that some of our impulses, some of our feelings are anything but holy, anything but godly at all. We have impulses, we have feelings all the time that are contrary to God's will, and while we may be very enthusiastic about a particular emotion we are experiencing at a certain time, we certainly never want to rely on our emotions as if they are infallible, because in fact they may actually be sinful and contrary to what God is actually speaking to us in His Word.
Where would you go in Scripture to begin to find the answers there as to who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does?
Well, the Holy Spirit is mentioned throughout the Scriptures, including many passages in the Old Testament, but perhaps the simplest place to begin would be in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus, before he ascends back to heaven, tells the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And of course, when Christ, the Son, who is God, speaks of the Holy Spirit in the same breath as the Father and Himself, He's making very clear that the Holy Spirit is none other than also God Himself. And of course, as Christians, we understand that this is an expression of the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity, the one true God, the God that we Christians believe and trust, is one God only, but is in fact three persons. And just as the Father is this one God, Christ the Son is this one God, so also the Holy Spirit is one God. And that then begins to unpack who the Holy Spirit is for us, because frequently in Scripture we see Him receiving the praise and acclamation of God. We see Him doing the works of God, as, for example, in creation already. And everything that we would say about the Trinity would certainly include God the Holy Spirit.
So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, should we be careful to use it? The temptation, of course, in when we're talking about spirit or spirits, is to use kind of that neutral pronoun, it. Should we be careful to use the personal pronouns that we would normally attach to persons, such as he?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just as we would speak of God the Father as he, God the Son as he, so also the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is not impersonal, we might say. He's not like the Force who might be with us. But in fact, he really is just as personal as the Father and the Son. He is truly God. He truly has the personality of God in every sense, and so he is not something that is vague as a force, but in our language and the biblical language itself, much more appropriately recognized as you describe.
What does Scripture teach us the Holy Spirit's job is?
Yes, this is, of course, I think the most significant question about the Holy Spirit, because that's certainly where the misunderstanding often occurs. The places in Scripture that I think this becomes most clear are part of Jesus' last discourse with his disciples the night before he dies on the cross. In John chapters 14, 15, and 16, he speaks extensively about the Holy Spirit that he will be sending. Let me read a couple of those passages, and we'll talk about those for a little bit. In John chapter 14, verse 26, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation, that makes a difference, and I'll explain why. In the NASB, John 14, 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." There's really quite a lot there already in that one verse that is worth talking about. To begin with, when Jesus says the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Greek word there, parakletos, is one that is translated a lot of different ways. Occasionally, you'll even hear the Greek parakletos just carried over in a transliteration to English as paraclete. And, you know, we say, well, what exactly does that mean? That's not an English word that we recognize at all. Parakletos most literally means one who is called alongside, called to stand beside. And since there is no single word in the English language that captures that in its fullness, different translations of the Bible will translate the word in different ways. And all of them actually are really quite helpful. As I mentioned, the New American Standard Bible uses the translation helper, and that says quite a lot. The Holy Spirit is one who is called alongside us to stand with us, to help us, to guide us, to assist us. But other translations, for example, would say the counselor, and that's a slightly different kind of aspect of this calling alongside, the one who comes and stands beside us as one who advises us or guides us. And of course, that's certainly part of what Jesus is talking about here when he says he will teach you all things or bring to your remembrance all that I've said. Other translations, comforter, and there's a wonderful gospel assurance in that when Christ gives us the comforter, creates faith in Christ Jesus in our hearts, so that in knowing that Christ is our Savior, we have the most wonderful comfort there could ever be. Other translations, advocate or intercessor, one who pleads to the Father for us. In Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks also there of the Holy Spirit interceding for us, where essentially the Holy Spirit takes the prayers that we offer to God and through Christ, and while we may ask for something that is not really so helpful after all, we don't realize that, but the Holy Spirit in his omniscience knows that, and he essentially takes that prayer to the Father in a perfected way so that the prayer is actually pure and in every way wholesome and helpful to us. An advocate, of course, likewise, the one who speaks on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is called to be beside us, to speak for us. And when we speak of Christ, when we speak God's word to other people, the Holy Spirit is the one actually doing the work of bringing the hearer to faith as a result of those words. So all of those, helper, counselor, comforter, intercessor, advocate, all have different aspects of this wonderful and multifaceted work of the Holy Spirit. All of those things are, in fact, roles that the Holy Spirit carries out for us.
Dr. Carl Fickhenscher is our guest. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, unlike most of what you hear at night on the radio, on the weekends, issues, etc., it is a live call-in program. It's Sunday night, November the 18th. We'll respond to your questions and to your comments on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, issues, etc@kfuo.org.
Today's Issues Etc. broadcast was underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues Etc. book of the month for November, titled What Happened to Merry Christmas? More information is available by finding the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Our Issues Etc. book of the month, What Happened to Merry Christmas?
Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the annual symposium at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's January 15th through the 18th. For a complete list of speakers, symposium schedule, or to register online, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241. It's the symposium, January 15th through the 18th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on why you should support Issues Etc.
Even though I live in Southern California and we've got several stations totally dedicated to what they call Christian programming, I make it a habit not to listen regularly to Christian radio. I turned on one of my local stations the other day and heard about an exorcist casting multiple demons out of a good Christian. Listened a little while ago and heard a whole panel of people on another Christian station talking about how the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem was going to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, I just can't handle all that kind of stuff. But you know what I really like? The Christian programming that I like to listen to is Issues Etc. No matter where I am in the country, if Issues Etc. is on the program, I'm going to be listening. And the reason I like it is because we have solid, down-to-earth, biblical preaching and teaching, defending the faith from God's word instead of men's speculation. I know of no better ministry to support today than Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. One of the things we got out of the way right at the beginning is the Holy Spirit isn't your feelings. And a little later in the program, how do I tell when it's the Holy Spirit and not my feelings? That can be very confusing. LCMS World Relief is on the front lines. We heard about it last week with Pastor Matt Harrison, who joined us to talk about, and there wasn't enough time to talk about all of the things that LCMS World Relief is doing domestically and worldwide to reach people where they are in need as victims of natural man-made disasters. To find out about the relief efforts around the world, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can earmark a donation for any of their efforts by calling 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. It's an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. Dr. Fickhenscher, in all these things that you've talked about, the role and the work of the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit draw attention to himself?
Well, that I think is honestly the most important focus in understanding the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, back to the very same verse that we were talking about before, let me come back to another aspect of it, which we read earlier. When Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And likewise, the next chapter, chapter 15 of John, also verse 26, Jesus says, when the helper comes, same word, that advocate, that paraclete, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And finally, just one more, the very next chapter, also in chapter 16, the same discourse in John, verses 13 and 14 of chapter 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Now that, I think, ultimately is the most important understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus speaks of him as the counselor, the comforter, the advocate, and all those aspects of paraclete that we mentioned before, what ultimately all of those add up to is that he is the one who guides us, counsels us, comforts us with the word of Christ. I think one of the unfortunate misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit is to make the Holy Spirit his own favorite object, and that's quite the opposite. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus says very clearly here, has as his objective not to direct attention to himself, but to direct our attention to the Savior, to Christ Jesus. He brings to our memory what Jesus has said. He speaks of Christ. He bears witness of Christ. He speaks not on his own authority or his own initiative, but he glorifies Christ. And of course, what that adds up to, ultimately, is that the Holy Spirit works through the word of the gospel to bring people to hear and believe that Jesus, the one declared in the gospel, is their Savior by his death and resurrection. All three of these passages that I've cited take place, again, as I mentioned before, on the night before Jesus died on the cross. And everything that is happening in these last hours of Jesus' life is bringing our focus toward the event of the cross, by which Jesus would pay for the sins of the whole world, and in his resurrection then would assure us that we also are forgiven, that we stand justified before God, that we have forgiveness and eternal life. But unless people knew that, unless they heard it and were brought to faith to believe it, it would profit no one anything. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to bring us to the conviction of those things, to bring us to faith that these events that Jesus is about to go through as he speaks in these chapters of John will be for our salvation. And if we keep that in mind, if we always realize that the Holy Spirit has as his own purpose to focus us on Christ, then we're much less likely to be distracted into looking at ourselves and our own feelings, or to looking into other emotional aspects, or even the potential of just flat-out false teaching of our own imagination or our own invention. Because if we understand what the Holy Spirit himself wants us to see, we will always look back to the Scriptures, and in the Scriptures see Christ.
So that goes a long way toward answering my next question, which is, how do I know when and where the Spirit is really working? Is it the church service I walk into where people seem very excited and animated and, what we usually associate...
Enthusiastic, lively.
Yeah, enthusiastic, smiling, singing loudly,
right.
Hands in the
right.
Air. How do I know when and where the Holy Spirit is doing his work?
Right. Well, again, what Jesus says himself is he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus, in his life, ministry, teaching, has given us the words of eternal life. These, of course, have been recorded for us in Holy Scripture. In fact, one of the very important functions of the Holy Spirit, and that derives precisely from what Jesus says here, Peter reminds us of in 2 Peter chapter 1, when he says that the Holy Scriptures were inspired, men of God wrote as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what the Holy Spirit has done is to lead men to record these words of Christ, the words Christ himself spoke, and also the words about Christ. So in evaluating whether we're really hearing from the Holy Spirit or something of our own invention, obviously we look to the Scriptures that the Spirit himself inspired and that speak specifically of Christ. So if we are finding the truth in Holy Scripture, and we're understanding that truth as speaking to us of Christ our Savior, then we certainly know that we have the Holy Spirit working here. But it's in the Word that the Holy Spirit has written for us in Scripture that we find that assurance, rather than in some imagination or invention that might originate in our own minds.
Okay, I'm going to give you about 1 minute to sharpen the focus on that answer, and that is Luther's famous for saying that the heretic loves Scripture. The Bible is the heretic's book. He quotes Scripture up and down. The devil quotes Scripture in the Bible. Just because I'm hearing Bible passages quoted, does that necessarily mean that the Holy Spirit is there doing his work?
Right. Well, that's I appreciate what you say in terms of sharpening that focus, because as we said, the Scriptures declare Christ. And when we hear even passages of Scripture, if they are used other than to declare Christ as our Savior, or of course our need for Christ the Savior, then we can be assured that they are really out of the context of Scripture itself. When Jesus speaks, for example, in Luke chapter 24, to the two men on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples going to Emmaus on Easter night, he points out to them that Moses, that is the first books of the Old Testament, and then the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament, spoke of him. He says, these spoke of me, of the Christ. So all of Scripture, Jesus himself tells us, is really pointing to him.
Let's come back to that on the other side of the break. That's a very important point about how the Holy Spirit works through Scripture. We're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We have several resources on this subject under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. And we're giving away a great Bible study on the person and work of the Holy Spirit to our listeners with the best questions or comments tonight. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. issuesetc@kfuo.org, our in-studio email address, or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Carl Fikencher, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is our guest. What kind of international relief projects can you and your congregation help support? Here's Pastor John Folley of LCMS World Relief.
We've got some significant projects that continue to go on internationally in Indonesia and in Kenya. Specifically in Kenya, as we've been sending out these Mercy medical teams, providing opportunities for congregations and individuals to adopt orphans and to build orphanages and clinics to provide clean water. A lot of things that we're doing internationally with our partner churches, with World Mission, connecting our works of mercy with proclamation of the gospel.
LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Arthur Just on why a woman should consider studying for the vocation of deaconess at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, or Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
Here the motto that is spoken by Lutheran deaconesses says it best. What is my want? I want to serve. Whom do I want to serve? The Lord in his suffering ones and his poor. I think many, many women out there are just very anxious to be involved in this kind of care. But they know that in order to do it, they need a strong theological foundation. And deaconesses now are being trained at both seminaries to serve our church here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I couldn't be more excited about the prospects for the future.
To find out about the deaconess programs at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has, in his grace, in his undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of his Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues, etc. The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
As we approach the end of 2007, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. This worldwide outreach is listener-supported. We're not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour or the Lutheran Layman's League. You can donate by credit card, our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. By check, write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, anyone who contributes $50 or more to Issues Etc. before the end of the year will receive a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Time Had Fully Come. 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or issuesetc.org. This is Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your support this year. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. Here's a recent email that we got from Alan in Oklahoma. He writes, I've been listening to the archives from the Sunday and weekday shows and find them invaluable to my faith. My pastor is great, but your outreach fills the rest of my week with what my heart and mind need every day. Now, if you share Alan's sentiments, consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated, and for a gift of $50 or more before the end of the year, we'll send you a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Fullness of Time Had Come. Now, you can donate online. Our website address is issuesetc.org. By calling our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or by check, just write us at Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2007. Dr. Fikencher, when we went to the break, you were answering kind of a crucial question because we hear all sorts of people quoting the Bible, and there's outright misquotation, and then there's, I guess we would call it, misinterpretation. The glaring example, of course, is the devil quotes the Bible right to Jesus during his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. Of course, the devil isn't misquoting, but he's certainly misinterpreting or attempting to misinterpret Scripture. So, again, how do we know, even when the Bible is being quoted, whether or not the Spirit is pointing us in the right direction?
Well, again, ultimately, everything in Scripture really is about Christ. Christ himself says that. I mentioned the Luke 24 passage. Jesus says something similar in John chapter 5. In John chapter 20, he says that all these things that he has written in his gospel are to lead us to faith in Christ Jesus. And ultimately, this is the test. If all the Scriptures testify to themselves that they are about Christ, then we always want to examine our interpretation and see if it is pointing us to Christ or if it's directing us away from Christ. And sometimes the misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit has precisely that effect. For example, when people sometimes emphasize gifts of the Spirit in a way that is exalting self, or, for example, is making some particular gift that they would claim is from the Holy Spirit essential to be considered a full-fledged Christian, then they've really put the onus or the responsibility or the focus on something other than Christ. Everyone who believes that Christ Jesus has died and risen again for his salvation or her salvation is a full-fledged Christian and an heir of eternal life, and to expect anything other than that or more than that would really be minimizing Christ himself, and thus would clearly be misinterpreting Scripture. If it moves the focus away from Christ himself to something else, then clearly it is a false understanding of what the Bible itself teaches. And since, after all, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Bible, that would be also contrary to the Holy Spirit's intention.
Then, real quick, before we go to the phones, Luther famously said that if something comes, some sort of teaching or work from God, claims to come apart from the external word, and he meant there, Scripture,
right,
that it is not, in fact, from the Holy Spirit, but he says from the devil, with about 30 seconds, what in the world did he mean?
Well, as we mentioned at the very beginning, because we are fallen people, we have all kinds of sinful inclinations that can lead us to some ideas that are self-serving or not loving toward neighbor, things that are not at all in keeping with God's will. What we have in Holy Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit and focusing on Christ, is always in keeping with God's grand design, and therefore we can always count on it as reliable. Anyone who claims to bring a different message, as Paul would say in Galatians chapter 1, a message other than the message of Christ, is actually endangering salvation, as Paul himself says, even if he were an angel. Bringing a different gospel than that which is of Christ and Holy Scripture is not to be heard or to be given any credibility. In fact, we should separate ourselves from that kind of teaching.
It's Sunday night, November the 18th. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our email address here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Marie is listening in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin on WGNV. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
My question is, how do you know when the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are for real? And I believe in the laying on of hands and miracles and speaking in tongues. And how do you know when, if the Bible says that in the end times, that even the elect could be deceived through false miracles and counterfeit healings and things like that? How do you know when things are for real?
That's a great question, Marie. So we know that there can be counterfeit signs produced by the devil, tying into what you just said, Dr. Fickencher. How do you know the difference?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Of course, one of the passages in Scripture that is most often cited when people talk about gifts of things like tongues or miracles, healings, would be Paul's discussion of this in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. And that warrants some very close attention. Paul is speaking to a situation in the church in Corinth where people were speaking in tongues, and certainly miracles were taking place, no question about that. Paul's caution there, though, is very significant when he says that to speak in tongues is by no means to be held as being valuable when compared to prophecy, and there he's speaking about preaching. Our preaching, of course, as we've already been saying, is to be based on the word of Holy Scripture, because that's where we know the Holy Spirit is really guiding us. If preaching is based on Scripture, then it is to be held in much greater value than speaking in tongues. It is also interesting, Marie, and you know, I didn't realize this until really rather recently, that until very, very recently, and I'm talking the, believe it or not, the 1970s, the passages in 1 Corinthians referring to the tongues were always understood to be speaking of actual human languages, but languages that weren't known to the, in this case, the people in Corinth. It is such a new innovation to think of those as being languages that were not human or not recognizable by human beings. And I think that really gives us a significant caution. You know, Marie, you sound like you're younger than I, and even at my age, my history, my memory does not go back so very, very far. And things that seem very familiar to us in our age, in what is, of course, called the charismatic movement today, we think to be very ancient and very well established. That is actually not the case. For the huge majority of the history of the church, these languages were understood to be simply languages of different countries. And so, keeping that in perspective, we would really be ill-advised to think that languages that are said to be of angels or not real human languages would in fact be actual moving of the Holy Spirit among us. The thrust of what Paul gives us in those chapters really is to say this. When God's word is proclaimed, that is prophecy, and that is the word of proclamation that comes to us from Holy Scripture, there we have something reliable. Beyond that, we should be very cautious. And ultimately, Paul even seems to discourage that sort of thing altogether. The truth is, there's no assurance, there's nothing in Scripture that indicates that any kind of unrecognizable languages would be given at any time in the future, at any rate. And so, as Paul himself would say, rather than desiring to speak even a word in some language that people don't recognize, let us speak in the languages that people do understand. For us, English, or another, or in Spanish, or the languages where we can proclaim Christ clearly, the languages that or the words that Scripture teaches, so that people can through those words hear about Christ Jesus, come to faith. And again, as we've been saying throughout this discussion, that, after all, is the purpose of the Holy Spirit himself. That is the Holy Spirit's own intent, that we would clearly hear of Christ the Savior and in him have eternal life.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to review Joel Osteen's book. It's called Become a Better You. Dr. Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary will be our guest. Did Jesus come to help you become a better you? Can we win God's favor, as Joel says in his book, through obedience? Is overcoming life's problems simply a matter of thinking the right thoughts? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Larry Rast. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of 2007, just visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. It's called What Happened to Merry Christmas. It's a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. What Happened to Merry Christmas? It would make a great Christmas gift for your young child, your grandchild, or your godchild. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or look for the cover of the book at our homepage, issuesetc.org. What Happened to Merry Christmas? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Carl Fikencher on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He just talked a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's one place we need to go before our conversation concludes, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. Stay tuned.
When the fullness of time had come, a Christmas sermon preached by Todd Wilkin.
The most important event in your life didn't even happen in your lifetime. It happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' perfect death for sinners at the cross.
And we'll send you a CD of this Christmas sermon for a tax-deductible year-end gift of $50 or more to Issues Etc. Donate today, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-737-0172. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. as we approach the end of 2007.
Why not send a high school age man from your congregation to Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis? Taste of the Sim gives high school men the opportunity to experience seminary life. For more information on Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, visit the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-800-822-9545.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
issues, etc., has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825. Talking about the Holy Spirit's work, definitely more than just our feelings. Dr. Carl Fikancher, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is our guest. Dr. Fikancher, coming up in January, Concordia Theological Seminary there in Fort Wayne is going to be holding its annual symposia. Describe for our listeners this symposia experience.
Well, it is a marvelous thing each year. It's been going on since about 1979 or so, 78, the late 70s, so it's become an annual thing for a long time. Throughout that week, we have guests on campus from a variety of theological backgrounds, which certainly stimulates some interesting discussion. We have truly top-flight speakers, people who are very recognized scholars in whatever the area is being explored that year. The emphases are on biblical theology during the first part of the week, and then the Lutheran confessions during the last portion of the week. Not only are the lectures and all the discussions in the formal presentations extremely stimulating, but the worship is marvelous every day in chapel at the seminary. And of course, the conversation and the visiting between times as well. Interesting people on campus, people we all enjoy having visit us in Fort Wayne, people, students we're glad to have back, pastors and our guests as well. So it really is a marvelous experience, and anyone who is interested in some very, very high level and interesting theological discussion would benefit immensely.
Folks, you can join us as we broadcast live from the symposia, January the 15th through the 18th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For information on the symposia, speakers, topics, worship services, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call area code 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241. Ask for information on the symposia, January 15th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 260-452-2241. Here's an email from Tom in Detroit who listens on WDTK. He writes this: a lot of Christian thought, study, and analysis psychologizes Christians to get at the reasons that they exist as faithful believers. Indeed, such insights do prove valuable in one sense, and ignoring them would be foolhardy, since our church and our people do exist within an earthly culture as part of God's plan. My question is, where does psychology stop and the Spirit's work begin? Or should we say that the Spirit begins the faith of any individual before any cultural trend can prevail? Or is it wrong altogether to psychologize faith motives, if indeed faith is a product that the Spirit alone has wrought? Your answer to those questions, Dr. Fikancher.
Boy, that's a lot of good questions. I would say this, that God himself, of course, is the creator of our minds, our psyches, and so there is much to be understood properly from the way God's Word and the Holy Spirit through the Word works with our minds. When, for example, St. Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, he's not just talking about vibrations on the eardrum or being in the general presence of the words, but he's actually talking about the word being heard and absorbed in our minds, processed through our mental processes. The Holy Spirit certainly certainly uses that. But it's also true, as Luther said so well in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed about the work of the Holy Spirit, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. So it's not as if our good, solid mental capacities in themselves could rationally, reasonably reach a conclusion that Christ is our Savior. The fact is, God himself becoming a human being and suffering the penalty for all that his creatures did to him makes no sense, so that believing it, because it is indeed true, can only be the result of a miracle, and that's the miracle that the Holy Spirit works through the Word.
Janice is listening in Chicago on WYLL. Hi, Janice. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. I have two questions. The first one is, can you explain the difference or distinction between being baptized of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit? And the second question is that in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit is mentioned, it appears that he already is working in people's lives. And what is so different in the New Testament when Jesus says he has to go so that he can send the Comforter to do all the things that he says the Holy Spirit will do in the New Testament?
Janice, thank you very much. Let's deal with those one at a time in about 30 seconds for each. Does Scripture make a distinction between being baptized in the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yes, great question. Well, properly understood, being baptized with the Holy Spirit is precisely the baptism that is so familiar to us. I was baptized when I was just a couple of weeks old as an infant, and at that time I was literally baptized with the Holy Spirit and at the same time filled with the Holy Spirit. So there really is not a distinction there. And the book of Acts, when there is that use of filled with the Holy Spirit, it is not identified as being a separate thing, but the Holy Spirit working in believers, that is, those who have received the Holy Spirit through the means of grace, baptism, and also through the preaching of the Word.
Her second question is, the Holy Spirit certainly is attested to working and active in the Old Testament. Is there a difference between what the Holy Spirit's doing in the Old Testament before Christ and what the Holy Spirit does after Christ's ascension into heaven?
That's a marvelous question, because of course it is interesting when Jesus says that he must leave so the Holy Spirit can come, and in John chapter 7, John comments that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. Well, the fact is, any time a person has come to faith in Christ, which of course happened with countless believers in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit has in fact been working, and he's been working the same miracle of faith that he works now in the New Testament age. The difference really isn't in what the Holy Spirit is doing, but rather in what the Holy Spirit is having us do. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit worked in the small group, the nation of Israel. He worked, for example, through the circumcision of infants to be of boys, to incorporate them in the kingdom, and through the Word of God as was offered in connection with the sacrifices at that time. Now he has that same Word of God going out to all nations. So what we are to be doing is a much broader mission than it was in the Old Testament. But it's still, in either case, the Holy Spirit working, also still through the means of grace, we say through the Word and sacraments is the expression we use, to create faith in the hearts of those who hear those words and receive the sacraments.
Then with only 30 seconds, someone listening says, look, if the Holy Spirit is present and working at my church, what must the central message and theme be in what is preached, what is taught, what is prayed, what is sung? 30 seconds.
Once again, Jesus brought this into focus so beautifully for us in those chapters that discuss the Holy Spirit in such depth. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the things Christ has said. He glorifies Christ. He teaches us of Christ. So we know the Holy Spirit is very active when Christ himself is the one being proclaimed, when Christ is the focus. If the focus is other than Christ, then it really is something contrary to the intention of the Holy Spirit, and we have to fear that's a human invention, and being thus, it is nothing other than what Satan would have us to do. The work of the Holy Spirit is the focus on Christ, and a church that is actively proclaiming Christ is very much being in the business of the Holy Spirit.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our next issue's Etc. journal. You can also use that number to make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. No gift is too small. And for a gift of $50 or more before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of my Christmas sermons. 1-800-737-0172. You can also sign up online, issuesetc.org, or just write us, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Well, just any spirit won't do. Lots of spirit talk out there in the church and in the world, people talking about being spiritual or feeling spiritual. But any old spirit won't do. It must be the spirit promised by Christ. So how do you know that it's the spirit? You know, it turns out after this long conversation with Dr. Verkancher that when we ask that question, who is the spirit and what does he do, we'll end up talking about who Jesus is and what he has done for us, because that's what the spirit does. The spirit is the spokesperson for Christ. He comes alongside to us to bring us to faith in Christ, to point us to Christ, to sustain us in that message that saves. And that message that saves isn't what the Spirit does, but what Christ has done for us when he gave himself as the sacrifice for our sin at the cross. Where you hear Christ crucified for sinners, risen from the dead, the Savior of all mankind, the forgiveness of sins, and the life that is in his name proclaimed, guess what? The Spirit is there. The Spirit is doing his work, pointing you, a sinner, to Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.